B-Pod Studios.
Two hands slap.
Out to Hayward for three.
No!
The home of the Boston Celtics.
My.
WBTM HD1 Boston 98.5. The Sports Hub. The Beasley Media Group Station. Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins will play Toronto at TD Garden tonight in a pivotal Game 5 of their first-round playoff series. This thing is even at two games apiece. David Krejci and his teammates, however, still had yesterday off.
It's a different league than in the regular season, so you need that rest. Get those bruises fixed and get ready for the next game. You know, at the same time, it's nice to get a little family time.
Judd Surratt and Bob Beers have the pregame at 6:30 and the faceoff at 7 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And under NHL news, the Detroit Red Wings have called a press conference for 3 o'clock this afternoon. They will apparently introduce Steve Yzerman as their new GM. Celtics visit Indiana at Bankers Life Fieldhouse tonight. Green lead this best-of-7 first-round series, 2-0. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell have the pregame at 8, the tip-off at 8:30 on 105.7 WROR. And the Sox play Tampa Bay at Tropicana Field tonight. Red Sox 6-13, and they just placed Dustin Pedroia back on the injured list after he hurt his knee again Wednesday night against the Yankees. Boston Globe is the first to report that the injury is not considered serious and he will not be out for long. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Century Roofing. Does your home or commercial property need a new roof? Call Century Roofing, 603-774-ROOF. Servicing Massachusetts and New Hampshire, Century Roofing gets the job done right and at a fair price. Call Century Roofing, 603-774-ROOF. I'm John Wallach of Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
You're listening to the station that gets you off the bench.
Things aren't going to stop just because Brady retired.
It's part of the game. It happens.
You don't know what the real money is.
You move on. Patriots win. Go Pats.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Always love Bob Saget. He doesn't have to do the show because he's going to sell at those shows anyway, but he comes in because he enjoys doing it.
He's got more money too than God, right? I mean, he
just loves performing.
I asked him off air. It's like, what keeps you going? Right? I've been doing this for over 3 decades. He goes, I'm just a very driven guy. I've always loved work, and I get a ton of enjoyment. When you hear him talk about how he really enjoys what his work does for people, that it helps their lives and it makes them forget about their problems. And so I feel like he's doing it for the right reasons, you know?
Yeah.
That comes through when you listen to him talk, and I think that's just really cool. One of the more impressive guys that I've met as far as, like, entertainers.
Yeah.
That as far as just down to earth and just an easy guy to kind of like, likability is very, very high.
Yeah.
Easy guy.
He's always good because he doesn't need to do the show, but he does it. Billy Jaffe does the show. You can watch him on NESN.
Really?
As the puck drops tonight at 7 o'clock. And you can also hear pregame here at the station at 6:30. And your exclusive home for Boston Bruins hockey on the radio at 7 o'clock. Mr. William Jaffe, I talked to you yesterday for a little while. You were talking about the importance of Sean Corrali.
Well, getting him back and hopefully, and you know, he had to see the hand specialist yesterday and what he brings to that fourth line. Now, let's not forget, Freddie, he hasn't played in a month. But his legs are in great shape. He just brings an energy and identity, and I think it makes it there's something about knowing what you have and knowing that and feeling good about the identity of your team. I'm sure Ted can talk about that too. You know, when you go in to a game that it just gives you, I mean, it doesn't guarantee a win, but it gives you that little extra feeling, and he brings that speed to that fourth line and a little more tenacity, a little more grit. And if he can play, you know, again, had to see the specialist yesterday afternoon. We'll wait and see what the decision is. But if he feels good, he'll be in the lineup today.
All right. And so what's the conditions
Like, what do they need to see in order for him to play? Do you know?
I'm guessing it's just that the hand is healed well enough. That's what it, meaning, you know, it's healed. You know, the guy is skating, but you know, can he? Is it good for him to play? Is there a risk that he could re-injure that? And I'm guessing he has to wear some kind of apparatus, just like Pastrnak had to wear something, you know, on his thumb, Fred, when he comes back or when he came back. There's got to be some kind of little apparatus, I'm guessing, that he'll have to wear. And, you know, can he play at the level that he needs to be able to play? And is it medically, do they say, darn, you're cleared, the bone is healed?
All right, Billy, how do you view the final 5 minutes against Toronto of Game 4? Is it, boy, the Bruins were lucky to get out of there with a win, and now they have home ice advantage back, or did they really just play solid in those last 5 minutes and kind of prove to everyone that they belong where they belong?
You know, there's playoff push, and Johnny, I think that that's what happened there, and did they get lucky? I don't know about lucky. I think that they said, okay, we got to buckle down. I thought they made some good, smart plays, John, at the end. You know, they got inside positioning. They get in the lanes. They take the right routes. But you know, is there an element of luck? Well, I think there's always an element of luck to sports in general, but you earn your luck by doing more of the right thing. And I thought the Bruins did in the last couple of minutes more of the right things. I love the battle by Krejci, for instance, before Joakim Nordstrom scores an empty net goal. You know, they got into the right spot again. I thought they used their sticks well. But everybody knew, right? I mean, if Toronto didn't have that push with the empty net, then, you know, shame on Toronto. They're going to push. They did. I thought the Bruins, there was a little bend. I didn't see the break, though. I mean, yeah, even Marchand talked yesterday about, yeah, got a little tight. You know, a few parts of the body might got a little nervous, you know, when they scored the second goal to make it a 5-4 game. But, you know, that's, we're seeing it all around the league in many of these games in the last few minutes. It's frenetic, and you're going to bend. Just don't break. And I thought the Bruins did a nice job of that.
Hey, Billy, you know, Bruce Cassidy decided to make a change and in this last game, and he decided to move Heinen up to the front line and then Pastrnak to the second line. I mean, were you surprised by that, or was it kind of the, under the circumstances, the most obvious kind of change to make is doing that? Because it obviously worked in the last game.
Wasn't surprised by it. I was, you know, we were under the premise, if only, I mean, I guess shame on all of us for not recognizing or for just assuming that the coach is always going to tell you what he's going to do. It's right. Playoff hockey after all. But Bruce is such a good, you know, communicator, and he's so honest with the media too. It's nice. But it was the right move. I mean, I think that especially on the road, create different matchups. At the very least, make the Mike Babcock and his staff have to think a little bit more about which D pair you're going to want to put out against, you know, a certain Bruin line. And that's what that did. And I think in this game tonight, Ted, I think that's what you end up doing too. Play with it a little bit. You're going to move Pastrnak around the lines for the most part. We know that. We've seen Bruce do that in the best of times. Well, you know what? Keep him off guard a little bit in this game too. Double shift if he's running. If Pasta's running and he's playing the kind of game that he did second and third period, you shift them around, you get them going, and you make, you know, you say, okay, listen, you want Jake Muzzin out there against him, well, then you're going to have to double shift Jake Muzzin, for instance. I think you absolutely keep playing that game a bit.
All right, Billy, we're going to have Jake DeBrusque on in about 10 or 15 minutes.
He requested again.
That's right, and he requested to be on with us. I wanted your opinion of his play. He has not scored in this series after letting Toronto up last year at this time, yeah. But Bruce Cassidy has mentioned some of the good things he's done in the series despite that.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, we all want to see guys get rewarded, you know, and as fans and as broadcasters, right, you want to see the guys that you know can score, and he's almost, you know, 30-goal scorer. You want to see him get not just rewarded, but you want to see him come through for you that way. He's played hard. I'd love to see him keep using that speed. When he's got that separation speed going, Johnny, you know how good he is. It's that powerful separation speed, driving to the inside. I've liked his line. I mean, Krejci's played well. I've liked his game. Yes, I'd love to see him finish. If only for the selling, the smile. And again, you guy like that, you get him rewarded. It usually seems like more to come. I think he's been good. I do. I think he's been good. I'd love to see him take it to that great level.
All right. They were so physical in game two at home. And
Yes.
You know,
yes, need to be tonight.
Okay, so is the fact that they're at home, does that play more into being that overtly physical?
Well, I, you know, maybe. I, you know, it helps. Let me say it that way. It helps because every time you throw a hit on the road and you connect, yes, there's a thing on the bench, and it's, you know, all for one, one for all, us against the world type of mentality. But you don't have the crescendo of 18,000 people or 17,500 at the Garden, you know, roaring with that amazing approval. At home, I think, Freddie, you get that little bit extra. You get that little bit oomph, that little bit more. Does it mean that you can't be physical on the road? Of course not. But I do think that there, as a home team, you get energized. It's just, it's a human nature thing. The key to me is that be energized. Be physical, Fred. But don't be overly. Don't run around looking for hits. Make hits. Don't look for them. If you start looking for things, that's when you get into trouble.
Billy, a couple words about Steve Yzerman, who's going to be named the new GM in Detroit this afternoon. This is kind of like Cam Neely returning to Boston, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a good analogy there. Now, you know, Stevie has a longer history with regard to being a GM of a team, obviously, having been one in Tampa for a long time. There was a lot of talk about this could happen. I've gotten to know Steve Yzerman well over the years. Very, you know, I was with him a lot last year in the playoffs, and he's in a great place, loves Tampa, absolutely loved it, but he was away from his family an awful lot. I mean, literally, he was getting on 5 a.m. flights to travel home to play golf with his kids or his wife and to come back that night or the next morning at 5 a.m.
Is he still in Detroit? Was he still with his family?
Well, he's got kids that are in college, and he's got one who's graduating, another one who's at Michigan, and, you know, so he's just, he was, his wife, even though he came down an awful lot, you know, needed some time, and, you know, or wanted to spend time still in Detroit. And so it just became a ton. I think anybody that travels a lot for their living, and I'm not talking a lot like, you know, 50,000 miles a year. We're talking hundreds of thousands of miles. I think it just got to him, and he's a father, too. So this makes a lot of sense. I do not think this was a given when he made his decision. But now that his contract has expired at the end of this Tampa Bay Lightning season, Detroit made the right move. It's a good move. I think Kenny Holland still stays around for a little bit.
Oh, sure.
It wouldn't surprise me, though, when it's all said and done, if Kenny Holland ends up in Seattle with the new expansion team. Well, you know,
how old is he?
Kenny's in his, I'm going to say 60, 62. I hope I'm not aging him. I don't have his...
Like, I don't remember him not being with the Red Wings. Like, I don't remember.
Well, he's been there since early mid-90s. He's been there 30 years now, just about. So, wonderful guy, too. You want to talk about a guy who's awesome to deal with, just like I mentioned Bruce Cassidy said. Kenny Holland is a GM. He'll sit down, have a coffee, have a meal with you, and just talk and give you, you know, real stuff. He's like, hey, this is what's going on. So, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, he was the first guy to have a Finnish scout. And that
you're right.
And you're
right.
All right. Billy Jaffe, you got some video game situation?
There's Sony PlayStation View, I'm told. I just got told this. Listen, may not have Nessun. This just came out, was just made aware of this as of tonight. And so we don't want those people not to be able to get your game locally here on Nessun. So anybody who's got Sony PlayStation View, go to keepnessun.com, get all the info, keep it. And I literally just found out about 20 minutes ago. So I don't understand all the parameters to everything. I'm just a talking head. But Sony PlayStation View users, keepnessun.com. Go to that and check it out, okay? Game time. I can't wait for tonight, guys. Can't wait for it. It's going to be a ton of fun.
All right. Thank you, Billy.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right. You do the same. All right. Jake DeBrusk requested it, and we shall do it. DeBrusk going to be on in just a
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The Boston Bruins play this evening. Pre-game here at 98.5, the Sports Hub starts at 6:30. Game starts at 7, and by request, his own request, Jake DeBrusk.
Hey, now.
Jake DeBrus from your Boston Bruins. Hello, sir.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
We are doing well. Now, I'm going to sound like a fanboy here, but Jesus, my friend, that game two, you were a bit of an animal.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
I mean, what? Like, I haven't seen you do that before. Like, was it just that Kadri's a prick, or was it, or did you just go, I'm going to come out and just go crazy?
It was option A, wasn't it?
No, I think that it was more so personally I wanted to respond. I think that I had a tough game one, and I was getting kind of, you know, pushed around a bit. I think that they were playing hard and physical and playoff style, but I just felt like I had to kind of stand up for myself. And yeah, I've never seen that reaction for myself either, so it was kind of on a pretty big stage there. But you know, you gotta do what you gotta do in playoffs, and it was nice to win that game.
Like, you set the, like, again, I'm like kissing his ass, but I'm serious, like, because that was such a fun game to watch. It's like you personally set the tone for that, and no one, I think, were your teammates even surprised that you came out like that?
Yeah, they were actually. It was pretty funny to hear some of their reactions, even as the game was kind of going on. Because, like you said, I kind of wanted to help set the tone, because that was one of our focuses going into game two, was to make it 1-1, and just wanted to be, you know, physical and on top of them. And yeah, I was kind of on a mission, and it took a lot out of me. But you know, that's what this time of year is all about.
All right. So when Kadri sticks you in the face, do you, what do you immediately think? Do you go, all right, something's wrong? Like, what's the reaction when you go down?
There isn't really one, to be honest. It's more, you know, it's more just surprise of what just happened. But try to make sure you're, you know, all your teeth are there, and just kind of move on from that. I mean, I don't really have too much to comment on the play. I think that, I've kind of seen how social media goes now, but, you know, initially my personal thoughts were just surprise. And then I tried to get up, so I was kind of, you know, a little mad, and then I had to go off and do some tests.
All right, so when they do the tests, what do they do to you?
I can't actually really say, but just kind of checking up on certain things and, you know, making sure that I'm healthy enough to play, and you know, just kind of going off with different things, the previous injuries that I've had, and different stuff like that. It's pretty, it's kind of mandatory after that. There's spotters and different things in the game nowadays where, you know, if you get a direct hit to the, you know, upper body, you have to go get checked out. And also with just kind of how the play was, you know, how the play happened, it was more so focused on some certain things. Sorry.
Right.
Okay, so you haven't scored yet in this series, which, of course, is going to change because you're on the show this morning. Everything's going to change. You, by your own admission, are a very superstitious guy. What routines have you changed in the last week?
Well, I've changed up a little bit, but not really, to be honest. I mean, I during the regular season, you want to score, you know, all the time, and same with playoffs. But right now, it's about winning. It's about, you know, the team, and you know, it's not necessarily too much of a focus on personal goals, but at the same time, I'd love to get on the board. Don't get me wrong. That's why I appreciate the call, boys.
yeah, right. Was it, what was it like having Pastrnak playing with him?
Oh, yeah, it was good. I think that, personally, I didn't like my actual own game in game four, but I think that he really took that game over. I think that him and Krejci played well together, and you know, he just makes plays happen. He's a special player, and there's a reason why, you know, he puts up those points. And, you know, it was nice to see him to get on the board and start feeling like himself again.
All right. What do you know about Corrali, Kamal?
I'm not sure, actually. I'll find out in about probably 15 minutes. We'll call you back.
Feel free to give us a ring back and let us know.
Because everyone's going crazy about how important Corrali is. All the analysts.
I mean, yeah. I mean, anytime you get healthy with body fat. Yeah, I think the biggest thing with him is speed. I think his speed brings a lot to the table, and his energy is something that we've missed.
Yeah, you kind of sound like a
Doesn't really matter.
That's not what he's saying.
Just sound like, you know, I go, hey, everyone's talking about crowd. You're like,
kind of.
No way.
There you go, Jay.
All right. Don't
let him. I can hype him up. I can hype him up some more.
Yeah. Please go at it.
I don't know his status, so that's
I knew you were not going to give his status. Jake, I'm not that big an idiot. I'm an idiot.
But that,
that you're not going to give that status.
Did Toronto's physicality kind of surprise you guys? Obviously, Toronto's known as a fast, skilled team, and you guys are the bigger team. So entering the series, it was your physicality against Toronto's speed. But it looks like Toronto was a lot more physical in the last two games.
Yeah, I think that after game two, they wanted to respond. I think that going back home, they wanted to set the tone. And even in game one, I think that, you know, you watch lots of video from regular season, it seemed like they weren't as a physical team, but in saying that, I think playoffs changes that, you know, pretty quickly. I think there's messages being sent, and everyone's, you know, hard to play against and hard on the puck, so it's that time of year again. We also saw them last year as well, and we went to seven, so it's starting to kind of brew the rivalry, and that's why I think you see more physical contact from them.
Hey, Jake, you know, you have a coach in Bruce Cassidy who's very candid and very kind of just has no problem calling guys out through, you know, through the media or just challenging guys. Do you guys like that kind of style of coaching? And is it something that you guys enjoy as athletes? Because I did. I like when at least you kind of knew where you stood as an athlete with your coach. Do you like his candor and his directness in which he talks about you guys to the media?
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Anytime that you know where you are as a player, there's always something that you look for. I think that's one of the main things that he brings is he's pretty straight up with kind of how he feels about your game or mm-hmm. certain things like that, whether it's the media or to you. He'll come up and give you a little talk and, check on certain things. But I respect him as a coach. He makes really good adjustments and not necessarily – more so X's and O's, but just kind of more so things to look for that actually do kind of happen on the ice. I've never really had a coach that is like that, and I have the greatest respect for him.
All right. Well, Jake, best of luck tonight. Let's get back on the schneid here. Let's get this interview whole thing going again. Go ahead.
I saw a sign, actually, during game one. I saw a sign, the Toucher and Rich bump is real. I hope the sign's out there again today. That was pretty cool.
I guarantee
you guys made it in the game.
I like it. All right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Everyone make a sign that says the Toucher and Rich bump is real. And
yeah,
hopefully.
I saw a sign.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I said saw a sign. It was pretty cool.
All right. Well, listen, go out, make a sign, and hopefully we get to talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Right, thank you.
Good luck,
Jake DeBrus.
Thanks.
That's the first player ever. That was not selling something that has requested to be interviewed.
That's amazing. I mean,
that is amazing.
Like, he's like sincerely thanking us for having
that's
him.
That's the only time I've ever heard of an athlete ever doing that. Yeah. Requesting to be interviewed.
That's not being paid or not pushing a
product. No angle. No.
But I mean, he's that superstitious. Yeah. And the last time he was on, he did not have a good game the next night. As a matter of fact, he got hurt for a while there in game one. And still, he returns to try it again.
But maybe, you know, and you guys said it. I heard that interview. There was a bad connection.
Yes.
Oh, and he almost dropped out. That's right?
Right. Yep. So that might have been the reason why the interview didn't give him the bump that he's used to. I thought this interview, it was pretty clear for most.
Cretch, let me borrow your cell phone.
Right.
What do you think the chances are Rich was holding the sign the TNR bump is real?
Pretty good.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. I'd give it a solid 50-50. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're probably right about that.
Because he was at the game and he had good seats.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, 100%.
Well, now we're going to have a whole squadron of them tonight.
Yes.
Now everyone's going to make one.
Jake DeBrusk, he requested it.
If DeBrusk scores, everyone hold up the sign.
Well, I would hold them. Apparently, he liked it. He saw it in the stands.
Very cool.
That's cool, man.
So if you want to do something that one of the players likes, by all means, make that sign. All right. We'll have the stack for you coming up. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack, 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Ted Johnson in for Rich, as Rich, for some unknown reason, gets to take breaks during spring ball.
Yeah, just...
Apparently he negotiated that in his contract. I do not have such a thing in my contract. Spring book started, no, like a month ago. Yeah.
So, yeah. Just openly defiant Rich is, right?
No, I think he negotiated into his contract.
Good for him if it works.
See, I think the...
I'm here. You're here.
I think
Zone's
the basic
here.
Parameters yeah. in terms of money and years are the same in our contracts.
I see.
But he got a little... thing.
Yeah.
Who? Oh, all right.
Oh, he's got the remote down in Florida is what he's got?
See, I'm allowed to do that.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Mike and Rich live on Nantucket, too.
Yeah.
Do you have to negotiate that, Freddie? Do you have to negotiate that?
I negotiated that I can do the broadcast from somewhere else, but I don't know where I would do it. I could do it from my parents' house, but I don't want to spend 2 weeks at my parents' house.
Telco Lake for, a weekend would be fun.
Look at you remembering that. Telco's great.
I love Telco Lake.
I could spend like a week and a half there, and then I would get
beautiful
with my parents. All right. So what do you
see
do?
Yourself.
That's right. Come on in and don't say just talk into a microphone. All right. So Ted, when the show ends today,
yeah, you know where I'm going, Fred.
All right. Are you going right to the gym?
I'm going right to the gym.
No,
I'll be there at 10:30.
All right. So it's just one a days for you.
It's just, just one a day.
Because Scalabrine goes three times a day.
That's what I heard. I heard Mike Gorman say that.
And he works out without shoes on.
I didn't know that. I'm not sure that's smart, but everybody's got their philosophies. But, yeah, I'll head right to the gym. I have some food I'll eat right after the show. I can't go on an empty stomach.
Now, do you prepackage your food? Like, do you lay it out, like, for the week? Are you one of those guys that has, like, the tin? That has like a certain amount of protein.
That's a yes. That's absolutely a yes.
I have taken my diet to another level recently.
Oh,
I have my close friends who I'm staying with. They are very clean eaters. Very clean eaters. Okay, and so it's basically I've decided recently that I'm going to stop eating these. I get a lot of these pre-made meals at Roche Brothers. Nice and easy. It's not bad. It's good stuff. I mean, it's good for you, fish and chicken. But I want to take it to another level. I want to kick this thing up. And so my friends, they always eat like ground turkey with rice or egg whites. Those are two common things that they. So I'm kicking it into another gear. I'm starting to eat that more exclusively now.
Okay, so you have taken.
So
away-
yes. So we make big buckets of it. Like I mean, literally buckets of rice and like big pans of. A ground turkey.
Yeah, I know a
and
guy.
They save it for the week.
I know a guy who's a bodybuilder, and if you go into his house, it's the most disgusting smelling place in the world because he is always microwaving cauliflower.
Okay. Ugh. Yeah. Yeah.
So you have now. Okay.
And I've cut out one major condiment that is my favorite that has a ton of sugar, and I have. I eat sugar free ketchup now.
Yep. That's it. I know a guy exactly like you. So what you've done is. You've taken all the pleasure of eating out of your life.
Pretty exactly right, yes. Now, what I'll probably do, and this is what my friend Billy does, because this is like he eats so clean throughout the week. And I'm weaning myself to off slowly off these pre-made meals. Well, he will have what he calls one cheat meal a week. So, dude, it's like double cheeseburgers, from Five Guys. So he'll have a meal like, pizza with, five meat toppings on it, one meal a week, so that it's you reward yourself.
But doesn't he just spend all week fantasizing about that?
You're just thinking about it, right? Till you get to that cheat meal kind of thing. And so, I want to take it to the next level. And so I've worked.
But why?
Because you know what? I feel good.
Because
considering where I was prior to that
that long ago
right.
in my life to now. You just, it's kind of like, I just want more. I'm more. I want to refine it, refine it, refine it.
You know what? It's like, because before I get a physical, I'll spend 2 weeks eating clean and I get so sick. Like, because my body goes through sugar withdrawal.
Yeah.
And it's just miserable.
Yeah.
Oh, do I hate it.
But you know what's funny is, okay, once now that I'm eating clean, cleaner than I ever have, like a soda feels weird for me to have. Or, you know, like chocolate feels weird because I've been eating so clean now. You just adjust. Your body adjusts to the new way of eating. And less over time, you don't crave those same foods that you used to.
All right, so you'll shove that thing, that meal down your throat.
So, and then I'll head over.
Because you got to eat it fast, right? Because it's disgusting.
Yeah, I'll eat it fast. And then I'll eat it fast. And then I will, today's my pool day, Freddie. So I always do 32 minutes of cardio every day. So I'm doing interval sprints today. I think I actually made a video and put it on the Toucher and Rich Twitter account of me running on a treadmill. And I'll get up to about 11 miles an hour.
And you're like, you got it all the way up, right?
I don't do an incline because it's very bad for your shins, but it's really, what happens is it knots up my calves. So I run on a level surface.
But isn't that like running, isn't that just like lifting your feet up and down? Don't they always say, I've heard that you have to have like at least a little bit of an incline.
I've done that before. Because I've kind of heard the same thing. So I'm like, and there's, why not put a little incline? I like the extra work. And I was running on treadmills that I was running faster than I wanted to run faster. And the red treadmill didn't go past a certain mile per hour. It wouldn't go past 12. So to make it harder, I put it on an incline. What happens is my calves would start straining. And I would start like pulling my calf muscles. So I can't do that anymore. Hill training is not good for my hamstrings or my calf muscles.
By the way, do you ever notice how much I know about fitness?
It's amazing.
That I never practice.
I was just going to say, a guy who self-admittedly is wildly out of shape, you know a ton.
Because I have friends that are into it, and then like I go to a trainer twice a week, and then I go and eat crap and drink beer. So that's exactly what.
But are you happy, Fred? Like, I ask you. Are you a happy individual
when I'm drinking?
No, yeah.
No. I could live cleaner. I got to lose some weight. There's no question about it. So today's pool day.
Today, pool. So I will.
Oh, pool day. I pool, thought. Yeah. Okay.
So I will do. I will too. Do. So I'll do 32 minutes of cardio. I do stair climber four times almost every time I work out. So I love doing the stair climber.
Like the real stair
the
climber?
The real stair climber, right. Where it's rotating and you got. And then, you know, you get to a point now where I don't hold the sides now. So I don't, like, a lot of people like put their whole body weight on those things. So I'm in a good enough shape. I don't have to do that. And then pull, meaning I will do things that you pull. So I will do back, pull, you know, and then I will do hamstrings. So it's back and hamstrings. And then always two core lifts, too. So I work my trunk really well. Toe to bar, where you hang on a bar and you lift your toes up to the top and back.
Oh, you can lift to the top.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If how many pull-ups could you do?
Because
you're a heavy guy.
I'm 250.
Right.
So it's a lot of weight, but I could probably pull-ups. My back is strong enough now. My forearms, my grip, I could probably do. If you put a gun to my head, I would say 20 pull-ups.
Jeez.
Wow. How many does Chara do?
30 something.
Yeah, he's around 30 or 35.
But he's like,
he's just a little taller than you.
He's like 3 years younger than me, too. So, you know.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's fair.
Do you know how hard it would be for him to do a pull up?
4 years.
Yeah.
Because how Chara? Long his arms are?
Yeah. 6'9", 2, like your size.
No, when you do dips, do you put like the weight, like the around chain there, around you?
I don't do dips. You know why? Because it's your shoulders. It puts a lot of torque on your shoulders. So,
okay.
In fact, now I don't do a lot of like so dips. You have to go below 90 degrees, and that's just not for me. Like I bench press now. I used to touch my chest. I don't anymore. I'll actually pause about an inch from my chest and then go back up because of the strain it can put on your joints and on your shoulders. So the dips are no no for me.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't encourage you to do dips, but I like. But I like the chest. I like developing the inside of the chest, you know, so you got the, you know.
Do you do decline presses? That's a very controversial exercise.
I'm not as much of a fan of decline. I'll do incline all day. I did incline yesterday. So I do flat. I do incline. And then I like to do flies. So you work the wide part of your chest, which is excellent. And then I'll do some of the machine. What do you call this? The regular machines, Nautilus machines. where I do work the upper part of the chest, too. So you want to work the different parts of the chest.
Okay.
But you know what makes the chest look really good and pop out is if you have a flat stomach. So the stomach for me, like most guys, is the last thing to go.
Right.
So that's the diet, and I do a ton of core lift. So a lot of, you know, twisting and turning and strengthening my core. Because it all starts with the core.
You take the medicine ball and
throw it up against the wall.
Yep.
Yeah, Rocky did it. I'll do it.
You know? All right. Now, have you ever seen anyone do squats and throw up in a bucket?
It's been a while. I haven't seen that in a while.
Is that the worst thing that you've ever seen in a gym? Because I've seen a guy do it, and he walked around for about 30 minutes and then got under the squat bar and screamed at the top of his lungs.
Yeah. You know what it is? You know what? Some of the things I'm almost like horrified to see in a gym sometimes is people putting lots of weight on their backs.
Yeah.
Or deadlifts. And so, you know, whenever the days of like, you know, wrapping up your knees with the straps.
Yeah.
Is like, I mean, what are you doing? I mean, it looks so painful. But people, there's just people that are addicted to that heavy weight, you know, a great documentary I was into like bodybuilding, but a fascinating documentary is about Ronnie Coleman, I believe 7-time.
Is he the black guy?
Mr. Olympia.
Yes. I saw it. Yeah.
Did you see that?
Like,
I
mean, he can't move.
He can't move, but he still works out every day, Freddie. Like every single
because
day.
Because he's addicted to it.
So, you know, look, it's part of mine too. It's my salvation. But if I'm gonna be addicted to something, I want it to be working. You know,
did so many steroids. Dude, I mean, he was carrying around so much weight.
You know, it's funny about that documentary that you were talking about, the Ronnie Coleman documentary. Never once, are steroids mentioned in the entire documentary.
Well, he was. I mean, there's.
I mean, how do you omit that part in this thing?
A human being cannot get to that size without.
Of course not.
Without
steroids. A little bit of help.
That Rich Piana guy or whatever. What's that guy's name?
Rich Piana. Yeah.
Piana.
Yeah.
You know who that is?
I don't.
Oh, you should YouTube him. He's dead. Oh. When he died, his heart and liver were 3 times the size of a normal human. Because he did. He was very open about it. He did like something called like liquid glass.
What? It just sounds awful.
But
there's people that you can just see in the gym that do it and they can't stop either, man. Like if you were to take a before and after picture from like a year or 2 or 3 years prior to what they look like now, they don't even look like the same people. I mean, their faces changed.
Oh,
I
that's
mean,
like their the features. Serious, and, yeah, that's
it, but
serious
they
stuff.
Can't stop doing it, man. They're so addicted to. To it, they don't stop.
And the piano guy did a 8-hour arm workout. It's ridiculous.
To what end? I mean,
end of his life.
First couple of hours, you pretty much solved the equation.
I think I have a healthy addiction to it. I can stop.
You can
see the video.
Yeah. All right, we'll see what Zolak and Bertrand have on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Ted Johnson is now realizing the Zolak effect. Zolak came in. He flipped off the Twitch camera, said hello to Ted, and then
I'm used
left.
To it.
All right, here he is. Here he comes.
I'm used to it.
He's wearing a sweatsuit, like the tee.
He'd do the same thing, man. He'd do that, and we'd be working out in the weight room, and then quarterbacks would walk by. Zo would come in, yell at you. You know, flip some weights around and then bail and go do something, you know?
Yeah.
A little flyby.
What's up, Teddy? Teddy J, my main man.
What's up, brother? Right there.
That's right.
Yeah.
You guys, Zoe and I used to
This is like an Ernie Zampezi sweatsuit. Oh. Remember Ernie? Yeah, does Fred had the Ernie ones. You have them. Those velour ones.
Yeah. Those velour sweats.
And Ernie would sit there and he'd flip through pens and he'd do this because he smoked so much. And
three pens.
That was the best thing about having Ernie Zampezi as an offense coordinator. He'd be sucking those butts and there's no way. No way you would have a meeting that would last longer than 40 minutes because he gets the shakes.
Like, yeah. Ernie
Ray Perkins, we'd sit there for hours upon hours and like drools going down your mouth.
Nobody like Ernie Zampezi, bro. Like, just these, it's true, Fred. Like, he had three pens in his left hand and he would just twirl them, right?
Nerves.
The right hand always had a dog rocket in it, just, you know, constantly going the whole time.
We'd be out of practice in 95 degrees heat. And I'm like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah. Jesus, 95 degrees and wearing these velour sweatpants.
Jesus. Not sweating at all. Zero sweat.
Isn't it weird that when you see people smoking now, it seems like it's out of the, like, what the hell is
it's
this person doing?
Yeah.
I went over Ernie Zampezi's house for one of the greatest steaks I've ever had. You've eaten. You're from down in Houston area. You know how good the steaks are down there. Ernie had this side of a cow cut. It was literally 4 inches thick, this steak, and it was the entire size of the grill. He took out a cookie sheet, poured salt all over it, like rock salt and pepper. And it was like, you know, like when you're gonna flour a chicken for a chicken breast to deep fry it. Ernie put the steak right on the salt like that, packed it in, flipped it over, packed it. You can literally see quarter inch of salt and pepper all around the steak. Put the grill on low, picked it up, dropped it on it, shut it. He says, don't look at it. Don't touch it. He goes, that thing's going to tenderize itself. He says, we're going to do 25 minutes on this side. We're going to do 25 minutes on the other side, real low heat, and we're going to eat like kings in about an hour. And it was the greatest. You could literally break the steak apart with your hands. It was the greatest steak I ever had.
They don't make coordinators like that though anymore, man. Like,
that's old school.
Old school, like Steve. So during the time Ernie was here with Zos, he was offensive coordinator. I had the defensive coordinator was Steve Sidwell. Old school
crawfish boil. He would have
yes. Great guys. They don't make them like Steve Sidwell and Ernie Zampezi anymore, man.
Wake up, coaches.
Let's go.
All right. Hey,
there you go.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Ted's for not playing football. I'm for playing football.
No,
they're on the opposite side of the issue. The two of them.
We'll get into that next Friday, man.
Yeah, Zolak's got his home.
You know I love you. Yeah. Freddie, have fun, man. Thanks.
Yeah, Ted, always great to have you. Thank you so much.
Good seeing you, Ted. Good seeing you, John.
Say hello to Lisa and for me.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that. And have a wonderful weekend. We will be back on Monday, and we'll hear more from Mark Jamelli. Nick Jamelli's dad. And so everyone have a great day. Wish me luck because I'm bad at golf. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.